Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 21 is where we are this morning. And so I've titled the message Parables. I want to take this opportunity to look at how Jesus uses parables and what he explains about parables and how that then affects how we look at the Word of God. What should we understand from the way that Jesus used parables so that we can have the Word of God applied in our lives? That's the intent. Now, this is not the only set of parables in the Gospel of Luke, right? We're looking only at two parables really here. There are plenty of parables in the Gospel and in the other Gospels too. But I want to use this particular passage to get this topic in our minds and to cause us to really be thinking about what this means for us. So I'm going to start reading in Luke chapter 8, verse 1 onwards. Some of the verses will be on the screen and in terms of what we want to emphasize. And I'll make the comments on some of the other portions as we go along. So you please follow along in your Bible, because not every verse will be up on the screen. We are starting in Luke chapter 8, verse 1. Soon afterward, he went on through cities and villages proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. By the way, Luke is one of the few writers here, and in the Gospels you will notice, who draws a lot of attention to the women. He draws attention to the women that were involved in the ministry, those that were healed, and he names them. He draws our attention to them, and he lets us know that in this context of that culture, this was a big deal. This was a big deal that Jesus paid attention to these women, that they were associated with him, and the verse here is saying that these women of means were supporting his ministry. So, you know, who was funding the ministry there? All these women, right? I'm glad that we have women in the church who are going to fund the ministry. So, and then going on, it says, and when a crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot. And the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock. And as it grew up, it withered away. In Matthew, it also says, when the sun came up, the seed that fell on the rock withered away because it had no moisture. And again, in Matthew, it says the soil was shallow. There was nothing there for the plant to grow into. The rock was there. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. I'm going to keep reading a few more verses here through this next section that's not up on the screen, but follow along, and it's very connected, even though it doesn't seem like it's directly connected. It's very connected to this parable of the sower and what Jesus says about it. It's continuing in verse 16. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. By the way, Jesus is emphasizing that the relationship that you have with him and the relationship that you have in the body of Christ is of greater importance than even your family relations, your blood relations. That's what he's emphasizing. He's not trying to be disrespectful, or he's not, you know, sort of being negative toward his mother and his brothers. He's making the contrast. He's emphasizing where your priority needs to be. But keep in mind that last phrase, that those who belong to Jesus are those who hear his word and do it. Okay, having said that, how do you understand this explanation that Jesus gives? When you see this and he says, it has been given to you to understand the secrets of the kingdom, but they don't see, they don't hear, they don't understand. And he speaks of it in these ways, and you wonder, why does Jesus say this? So what is the purpose of this parable? Why did he do this like this? Why does he speak in these ways? And, you know, the best way to understand Scripture is with Scripture. And many, many times you will find that when you see a word in one verse and you don't understand it, as you keep reading, as you look for that word or that phrase or that theme or that truth to be expressed somewhere else, you'll find that that other scripture fills it up and explains it or gives you something else that you say, oh, this is what's going on, and this is what this means. So it could be specific words or verses, but look for the scripture to explain scripture, right? And in fact, if you think about it, the New Testament is like a commentary on the Old Testament. Right? So when you're not understanding something in the Old Testament, look to see how it's explained in the New. And you'll notice how the word supports each other and builds on each other. So this morning, I want to turn your attention to Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 17, and then verse 1 through 23 is there, Matthew chapter 13. But it's the same story, it's the same parable of the sower, but in Matthew, he explains it slightly differently. So he talks about the seed being sown in rocky ground and path and choked by the thorns and so on. And then it says, the disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" This is in verse 10, Matthew 13. And he replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them." Similar to what we read in Luke. But then he says, "Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them." Sounds very harsh. "This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, 'You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused, hard. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." And then Jesus goes into an explanation of the parable, similar to what we read in Luke, and he continues through all of it. But in verse 23, he says, "The seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. So the question for us this morning is, what is the parable? What is a parable and why is this important? Why did Jesus do this? So at a very basic level, a parable is a story, an illustration, a metaphor, an allegory. It's a comparison, an analogy. It's a succinct story. It's not, you know, a novel. It's not 25 minutes. It's a very quick way to be able to express a key spiritual truth, one particular truth, right? And Jesus does this. He's a master storyteller and a way to illustrate. He does this, you know, very effectively to illustrate his point. But this was a common cultural form of communication in the Far East. Buddhism and others were doing this kind of stuff. You know, in China, this was common. And then in the ancient Near East. So in this area where Jesus is, this was a common cultural expression. They would tell stories. They would tell these kinds of parables. And it was part of Greek and Hebrew rhetoric, how they would express or teach so that you can learn. So if you think about it, these parables, these stories are meant to be giving you something easy to remember and a very visual image. And it gives you a way to say, I can remember this truth. And it's helpful. So why then does Jesus speak about it as secrets, or that the people are not receiving it, or that their ears are blocked, or whatever else? You see, the important thing for us to understand is that these parables were not somehow trying to be secretive. In fact, people understood the sort of meaning of the parable in that sense. But what was happening is that Jesus was saying that how you listen to the parable, how you receive his message, reveals what you think of Jesus. Even last week we talked about the Simon the Pharisee who had invited Jesus to his home. Seems to be a friendly gesture. But when the sinful woman comes and is wiping his feet with her hair because she's weeping on them and her tears are just washing his feet, Simon the Pharisee thinks to himself, if he had only known who this woman is, he would not have let her do this. So even though he is listening to Jesus, he's not hearing Jesus. What Jesus is saying is, I tell you these parables, I tell you these truths, I'm telling you the secrets of the kingdom of God, I'm revealing these things to you. But even when you hear it, you're actually not hearing. You're not listening. Your ears aren't open. Your eyes aren't seeing. And the people that were listening to Jesus, there was one group of people who said, Lord, what does this mean? The disciples and others like them. What do you mean by this? What should we understand? What should we grasp from these parables, from this spiritual truth that you're expressing? And for them, the Bible is saying, and Jesus is saying, your eyes will be opened, your ears will be opened, you will understand what this is about. And let me explain this to you. Now, you don't get too many passages, or you don't get these passages in the Gospels where Jesus explains parables. You don't really see that. This is one of those rare occasions, right, where Luke and Matthew and Mark, all of them chose to record Jesus' explanation of the parable of the sower. So we use that as a good example, and it's a wonderful way for us to learn. Jesus probably did this for other parables, too, as the disciples came to him, right? They would say, what does this mean? And he would explain. But the point that I want to make to you is, you have to look at what Jesus speaks, not just at the face value of the words, but to say, what is the spiritual message that I need to receive spiritually? Because if I don't ask the Holy Spirit to work in me so that I may spiritually receive the seed that is being sown, my eyes will remain shut. My ears will not hear, and I will not understand. The world around us hears the message of Jesus. Believe in him. Be saved. Right? Come to him. Be forgiven of your sins. Be redeemed. Be set free from the things that have been binding you and holding you hostage for so many years. Be free from the bondage of sin. The world hears that, but they do not receive it. They have hardened their hearts. That's what Isaiah and Matthew and Luke are explaining. So when we hear these parables, we say, well, it's a wonderful illustration. So simple, so great. You know, how come nobody's understanding this? Couldn't they just see this? Oh, it's plain. No. What is not plain to people is the spiritual message in it, because they're not willing to receive the Spirit in it. They're not willing to receive the Holy Spirit. They're not willing to receive Jesus. They're not willing to say, I turn from my ways and I will follow after Jesus so that as he speaks, I can hear. They're saying, I'm going in this direction. I want to do my thing. I want to live my way. And so when you start talking, Jesus, about the seed of the word and the soils that it's falling on, I'm not interested. So we listen, and how we listen to the message of Jesus really reveals what we think about Jesus, reveals what our heart really is drawn to. It reveals whether we are in the way of truth or we're on our own way. So, with that in mind, let's look at this specific explanation that Jesus gives. You know, one more way to just think about this is that the parables of God make things of God more plain and easy to those who are willing to be taught. And at the same time, make it more difficult and obscure to those who are willfully ignorant of them. So here, Jesus says, the path that the seed falls on, it represents the hardened, unreceptive hearts that are prone to the devil's attacks. If folks have become callous in their hearts, have hardened their hearts, are saying, I don't want to hear this. I don't want to receive this. And have so turned from God that it is like the path that is so hard that the seed cannot even fall into it to have any chance of sprouting. Jesus says that path, that place, makes you extremely vulnerable and prone to the enemy's attacks. Because now the devil doesn't have to go dig deep to pull out that seed. The devil just has to pick the seed off the path, and off it goes. And so that word that that person heard when they were a child, or that word that that person heard when they were a young adult, or that word that that person heard on the street because somebody pushed, you know, a tract in their face and talked to them for a few minutes. Why doesn't it stay with them? Because the devil comes and quickly tries to steal that word away. And that moment, as they were having that conversation, their conscience starts to bring to light where and how they need to turn to God. And they may be even affected by what they're hearing, but it doesn't stay. Why? Because the heart has been hardened. There is a callousness there. There is an unreceptivity. There's no willingness to receive the word of God. The second group that Jesus speaks about are the folks who are like being in the rock or in the rocky area, rocky soil. And these are folks, they are emotionally receptive. The Bible says that they received the word with joy. They were emotionally receptive. Oh, this is great. Oh, you're telling me about Jesus. Oh, this is wonderful. But they're not spiritually receptive. They're still not actually hearing. They're still not actually seeing. They're still not receiving Jesus and his word. They say, oh, this sounds good. They express joy. They express an emotion. But they actually haven't received
the word.
So on the rocks, they are not committed. They're not receiving this word and saying, I'm going to respond to this. I commit to this. Jesus, I want to follow you. Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. No, they are uncommitted. The third category that Jesus speaks of is the thorny ground, thorny soil. So path, hard soil, the rocky soil, and now the thorns or the thorny soil. And this is where there is spiritual receptiveness. So there is a group of people who will actually not just hear you, they even comprehend. They even are moved by the Spirit. They even start to receive the word of Jesus. And it starts to grow in them. The seed actually starts to sprout. There is growth that starts to happen. But Jesus says, the cares of this world and the way that their fleshly desires start to overwhelm, start to choke the word. The cares of this world and the things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, they start to choke the word. The word is received. The word is even believed. But instead of staying in the word, they start to look at everything else. They start to be concerned about everything else. They start to pursue something else. And those cares, those activities, those things that overwhelm start to choke the word. To the point that Jesus says, it does not grow. Now, mind you, in all these instances, in all these three soils that we're looking at here, the seed is the same. Jesus doesn't say that there was a ground penetrating seed that fell on the path. There was a seed that could flourish and could grow without much moisture. And even if the sun was strong, it would still grow. That's what fell on the rock. It doesn't say that the seed that fell in the thorns was so hardy and so strong that when the thorns came in, it would still fight its way up. He says the same seed, same sower, same Lord Jesus. But the response is different. And so here, when the thorns choke out the word, the Bible says that the seed cannot grow. And then Jesus speaks about the fourth soil, the good soil. He says, these are folks who are receptive. And in Luke and also in Matthew, when you read those phrases, you're speaking about receptive, honest, good hearts with an understanding of the word. You know, unless we are seeking to understand the word, not just hear the word, it doesn't get root in us. It's not applicable for us. We don't seek to do anything with it. We can come to church and say, good message. Or maybe not so good message. But we sort of say, we make a comment about the word. We even think of it in some ways to say, yeah, that was very inspirational. That was very encouraging. But the Bible is speaking about an understanding that is far beyond just our intellectual understanding. It's speaking about our spiritual understanding. That in our spirit we would say, oh, this is what the Lord is saying. This is what he's calling me to. This is what he has appointed for me. This is the word of the Lord. And you comprehend it. You understand it. You receive it. And the Bible says that when we do that, we don't know how, we don't know why, but that seed starts to grow. We don't make it grow. We don't have the power over it. But that same seed that did not have any fruit in all those other areas, suddenly in our hearts, starts to grow. And when it grows, the Bible says, it will bear fruit. What a glorious promise. That we as children of God, if we will yield to the work of God, if we will allow the word to come into us, if we will say, God, I want to do everything I can And I want to be led by the Holy Spirit to understand this word and to apply it. When we do that, God's promise is that word will grow and will bear fruit. That's wonderful. That means that we don't have to strive. We don't have to somehow make something happen. That means that we don't have to say, it's all up to me. But rather we say, God, let me understand. Let me receive all your parables, all your message, all your word. Let it get into me. And let me live according to this word. And so here, every Sunday, we want to say, Lord, how should we respond to your word? How do we look at your word and say, I want to do something in response? Because here's the thing. Jesus spoke all of these things, and he says in his word or his message, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So we need to be people who examine our hearts. We need to say, God, what's going on in me? Am I hard, calloused, turned away from the things of God? Am I somewhat receptive, but really, I'm not open to what you're telling me, and therefore these things don't have a way to grow in me? Am I receiving your word, but I'm concerned about so many other things? And there's so much of the world and the cares of this world and other kinds of things that are crowding my mind that I'm choking out your word. Or am I, Lord, allowing your word to find good soil in my heart? Where am I? What's going on? And mind you, this is not something that where you can say, I am all this or I'm all that. There'll be some areas of our lives where we have hardened our hearts, where we have turned away from him in willful disobedience. There are other areas in our lives where it just, you know, we're just not open to change. We sort of hear it, we understand it, but we're just not doing it. And then in the other areas in our life where we have done these things. So it's not going to be one big overall thing. It may be separate areas in our lives that we've got to examine in our hearts and say, Lord, we now ask you to transform our hearts. Our hearts as a whole change us from the inside out so that our hearts will be good soil where the seed of the word of God can be planted. Let it be good soil where the seed can grow. And that's where we commit to grow in the understanding of the word of God, to bear the fruit of the Spirit, and to mature as disciples of Jesus. You know, when we were doing our fasting and prayer time, we went through each of the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit. How do we bear the fruit of the Spirit? Allowing the seed to grow in us and to actually do what it was intended to do. We can't make the fruit happen. We just allow the seed, the tree, to grow. So here we commit and we say, Lord, we want you to work in us so that we may bear the fruit of the Spirit. And then finally, in response to all these things, we act on what we hear from Jesus. His message requires a response. The word of God requires a response. You can't really be indifferent to Jesus. You either have to say, yep, I accept your word, and I want this word to work in me, and I want this word to affect my life. Or you're going to say, nope, I don't want your word. I don't want to submit myself to you. I don't want to yield to the Holy Spirit. I want to do my own thing. And so we respond by saying, God, do these things in us and through us so that we may live for you. And every week, we want to ask the Lord to do something specific in our lives, unique, personal. And so this week, I want to encourage you that you would ask the Lord to help you deal with each one of these things. Look and ask the Lord and say, is there maybe one area, maybe more, but at least one area in my heart where I have hardened my heart and that area needs to be plowed up. It needs to be dug up. It needs to be broken up. I have hardened my heart against you, against others, against the will of God. And so, Lord, I need you to work in me to break up this hard ground. What has been trampled on for so long that it has become hard. I need you to work in me. I want you to look at this area in my life. Or you may have an area in your life where you say, Lord, I know that there is this rock, this thing, this obstacle, this thing that's going on in my life that keeps the seed from growing, and it needs to be removed. I need you, Holy Spirit, to remove this rock from my heart, from my life. Or it may be that you have a thorn, you have a care, you have something else going on that keeps choking you, and it needs to be pulled out. Weeds and thorns, you cut them, they just come right back. They have to be pulled out. They have to be uprooted. They have to be gotten rid of from the roots up, or else it'll just keep choking you. And so we say, Lord, what is it? Is there a thorn? Is there something in my life that I've just allowed to overwhelm me, to choke me? And then I would ask you this week to pray and ask the Holy Spirit for a specific verse or set of verses that you can start applying this week. Just say, Lord, maybe it's in your daily quiet time as you spend time before the Lord. Maybe it's a verse out of what we read. Maybe it's something that was in the call to worship. Maybe it was in one of the songs that we sang. But the Lord will speak to you. If you ask Him, the Lord will speak to you. And you say, Lord, I need to hear your word that will be appropriate for me to apply this week. And maybe you're driving along in the car and you just hear something on the radio. Or you're listening to a podcast, whatever it may be, God will speak. God will use whatever means necessary to give you a word. And you've got to say, Lord, how can I apply this word? What can I do this week that will let this word be lived out through my life? That's what we need to do. That we wouldn't just be hearing Jesus' message, meaning the words come into our ears, but we would respond to Jesus' message. That we would truly be those who have ears to hear and then are taking action. That's the call of God on our lives. Every week, we want to remind ourselves to die to self and to be raised up to new life in Christ Jesus. So this is another reminder that in order to receive the seed in us, we die. Jesus spoke of himself and said, unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, it cannot bear fruit. It's a mixing of two different things here, seed of the word and seed of himself and so on. But for us, it's essentially a message that we've been speaking about and reminding ourselves of every week, that we would die to self, that we would die to our passions and desires, that we would not have those things that would lead us astray or harden us or choke us, but rather we would say, Jesus, because you are Lord, because you are who you are, I come to you and I ask you to let this word grow in me. Let's stand together. Every week, I want to speak a word of blessing over you. And this week, I want to speak a number of verses, or a word that comes from a number of verses from the book of Psalms, from Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is a wonderful psalm about the Word of God. There's a lot of truths in there, and I encourage you to read it at home. But I can't speak 176 verses of blessing over you. So I'm just speaking a few verses, selected from different parts of the psalm. I could have selected a whole lot more. But as I speak this word of blessing over you, I pray that you will receive Jesus' word. I pray that the seed of the word of God would be planted in good soil in your hearts. And I pray that that would grow. It would bear fruit. And through the rest of this year, that there will be a fruit that is seen by all. That others would be able to say, I can taste and see that the Lord is good. Because this is good fruit from a good tree. That should be our experience. That's what we want to be individually and collectively, that we would bear this fruit. So this word that I want to speak as a blessing to you this morning comes from Psalm 119, multiple verses to say this. May his word be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. May the unfolding of his word give light. May it impart understanding. May you rejoice at his word like one who finds great spoil. May your tongue sing of his word, for all his commandments are right. May you store up his word in your heart, that you might not sin against him. May you incline your heart to perform his commandments forever to the end. God bless. Go in peace.